Episode 12.
Since I was young, I really believed that I can do everything and that everything can happen to me, but only if I work hard.
Gumbo! You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
And this ain't Shop City.
Don't stop, don't quit.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are beyond athletic. Hey there, everyone. Thanks for listening again to the Beyond Athletic podcast. Today, we've got on a lovely guest from Croatia. She plays volleyball for their national team, and right now in Japan, her name is Mia Jerko. She is very down to earth, very grounded, let's just say it that way. Has lived abroad all over the world, went to school in America, grew up with a famous basketball playing father. They own a pizzeria. We get into so many different lessons. She's a wealth of knowledge and extremely humble for what she's achieved so far. And she's going to achieve more. So listen, if you like it, make sure to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. 5 stars. Help us go up in the search. Help people find us. That's beyondathletic.com/iTunes. And I hope you enjoy the show. Share it with one person if you do. So, welcome to the show, Mia.
Thanks. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so happy. I'm really grateful to have you on and share your story for athletes worldwide. I know you saw the launch, which is happening actually this week, so people that'll hear this will be much past the launch. But just to tell you a little bit about Mia Jerkov, she is from Croatia. Mia and I met in South Korea, actually, when I was playing there. What was that? 2011?
2011, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And, but a couple years back, I was staying with my amazing friends that are here in Serbia, the Golijanins from, they work with Partizan Volleyball, the men, who invited me to their summer near Split, which is where Mia's from. And we were staying in the Castellas. It was husband, wife, three kids, two of them were twins and they're all under 16. And then two puppies, Boston Terriers, Chuck and my little buddy, who were 4 months old. But yeah, his mom had a house that she owned there because she's of Croatian descent. And a lot of the people from this region in the Balkans have roots all over the Balkans. So I messaged you and you're like, yeah, sure, come to Split. And yeah, I was shown around Split close to the Castellas by you and your wonderful friends. I remember your friend who's a chef. And yeah, we ate. Let's see. We enjoyed the nightlife. There was an even better day, I remember. You took me to a cove. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it was amazing. Like, it was completely random when you called and everything. And I was really happy because it gave us opportunity to kind of get to know each other. And you got to know my friends. And, like, my friends were, like, super excited with you. And I really, really had a great time. And I'm really happy. We hope that you will also have a great time in Split. So, to come back also.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it. And I remember thinking, oh my God, Mia is so awesome because, you know, I learned how big your heart was like through that little time there because I didn't see it when I first met you because it was like, you know, at the gym and you're tall. Mia's 193 centimeters, which is 6'3" for US standard. Sometimes you have like this very serious demeanor. I think it's like that Balkans region look, and I'm so used to it by now, but you never know which people are actually nice under that or which ones are a little like, then all of a sudden your smiles and then you start joking with people that comes out and you're like, oh, she's just really a great person. So anyways.
And you know, you have to remember you met me in South Korea. It was all business. I mean,
right?
It was just We met in the situations where we like had to like play and win and be the best. So it's kind of different than like family like situation, relaxing coast like Mediterranean little city. So
very, very true.
It was kind of different, but I'm very. That's why I'm very happy that we actually met in different circumstances, that we get to know each other.
Well, it's great to have you on. I want to tell people a little bit about you. You are a obviously female volleyball player. You play outside hitter, but you did switch a little bit in Korea, played some opposite. She's very versatile. I can say that as a volleyball player. But this podcast is for all athletes. But I like to highlight what people are playing now, since coming up soon, we have some different sports. You were born May 12th, 1982 in Italy. You live in Split, Croatia. Volleyball-wise, you played for Split, Castella, then you played for OK Istarka Banka in Pula. That was your last 4 years, and you ended second or third every year until you decided to go to America, which is something we definitely got to get into, and we will, where you played for UC Berkeley, which is Cal, the Bears, who just had a nice upset win last night with University of Washington or something.
I'm following them on Twitter, so I was kind of really, really excited about that because they were kind of struggling all season. So I was really happy. I was really happy that like they kind of pushed through and they're kind of having the last two upsets against a good team. So I'm hoping like I'm really, you know, it's like my family, and I consider them like to be part of my family. So I really cheer for them, and America is in my heart. So I really cheer for that team even when they're struggling.
That's awesome. I like that, you know, I'm just mentioning it in your bio and it just brings up so much for you. So it means that a lot of things happen there, and I'm definitely going to get into that because a lot of people could learn from getting out of your element, you know, like challenging yourself and doing something that you don't know what it's going to be like. And here you are years later and just like still involved in it. So from there you moved on. You were only at UC Berkeley for 3 years, and then you went to Russia for a half season. You won the championship and the cup, and you got to the quarterfinals of Champions League, I believe. And you played in A1 Italy for a couple years. Then you went back to Berkeley to, I assume, to get your degree. You couldn't play, obviously, because you had played pro and dominated. So you went back to Italy for, let's see, you got like a second place A2 trophy. You went to Korea. This is, we met your first year there or second year? I can't remember.
My second year there.
Your second
my
year
first
there.
So year the year was more hectic, so I remember more of my second year, definitely.
Okay. In that first year, though, you picked up, I think, the cup title and the second place in championship, right?
Yeah.
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 And so just give me the number, kind of, if you remember, like an average between both seasons, how many kills you got both seasons?
Oh, the average of both seasons. I know that my second season I got close to 900 kills.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I got it, if I got full 900, but I was really, really close to it.
So. Yeah. So anybody listening that's a volleyball player, you'll understand that that is ridiculous. That's so many swings at the volleyball. And like she was saying before, Korea is all business. I mean, in South Korea, you go to play volleyball and there's one foreigner per team. There are, I think, five women's teams?
Six?
Six, no. Well, one doesn't have a foreigner though, right?
One doesn't have a foreigner.
Okay, but all the other teams are allowed one foreigner, and that one foreigner is basically like the mule of the team. You get every... You'll get all the good balls and all the bad balls, depending.
Bad balls.
So, anyways, just to fast forward from there, you went to Turkey for two seasons. Your best scorer both times, and that was the 2 years previous to now, which is Japan playing for the Denso Eribees. Your national team was from 1995. I mean, you played some world championships, some world cups, and European championships. I mean, I hate to like smooth over that section, but your resume is so long by now and so accomplished that Listen, if you want to know more, go wiki her, Wikipedia, and find it out.
It just happens to you. I don't know. It's like I was hoping for it, some of it when I was younger, but most of this stuff just happens to you, I guess. If you work hard. If you don't, yeah, then you just stay in bed and enjoy life.
Yeah, very good point. So tell me, I've given people like a little overview of you, but before we get into where you came from and really who you are, let's just take a moment to set the mood and see kind of like what you believe in life. So what are you most grateful for?
I'm definitely most grateful for my family. I mean, they were so supportive of me in all of my choices. But also, like, my family is kind of sports family. My father is really famous basketball player. He used to be a really famous basketball player and kind of really, really famous sports person in Croatia. So, but my family is not really focused on sports. Like, kind of in my family, how we were brought up, me and my brothers, is that, like, you need to be a complete person. So we really put a focus on education. And it's education is part of my understanding, like it's part of my understanding of life and how a person needs to be complete in every part of life. You cannot have only sports. So really, 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 I'm really, really grateful for my family and everything that they went through with me, and like choosing to go to Berkeley, before that choosing to like move 12 hours away from my city when I was 15, that was really hard. And you know, all that stuff, it's part of life, but and part of life choices, but when you have to make those choices really young, it makes a toll on you, and it's heavy for a young person. And so they need to have a good anchor, like, and yeah, family is the most important part for it.
Awesome. I like that you said in there to be a complete person. And I think that's really important because we'll get into that a little bit later. But often athletes find themselves in this one-dimensional life where they're defined by just the fact that they're an athlete. And this podcast is all about breaking down that barrier and helping people understand, no, it's about being a complete person and exactly, making sure you go for everything you dream in and everything you need and to support your family and friends and really add value to people. So could you share an inspirational quote or motto that you believe in?
Yeah, my mother always told me like that I should believe in my dreams, and not only I should believe in my dreams, that I should go for my dreams and make them come true, because basically we are capable of making it all true. So I kind of, since I was young, I really believed that everything, I can do everything, and that everything can happen to me, but only if I work hard. So part of it is really like believing that something is entitled to you, and the second part is really going to get it.
You know, it's actually funny. That reminds me. I mean, you said that your mother is the person that's most inspirational to you because she said believe in your dreams and a lot of other things. And it brings to mind a quote by Anatole France. It's to accomplish great things, we must not only act, but also dream. Not only plan, but also believe. And I think that's kind of like the flip side of what she said, but exactly what she was trying to get across to you. Believe in yourself and work hard for it. And you did, and look where you are. So,
I mean, yeah. What's the chance that a kid from Split, Croatia, like travels all over the world and it's like worldwide recognized? So that's like 5% chance, 6% chance, 1% chance. I don't know what the percentage is, but like I just believed in my dreams and I worked really hard at it, and I guess it's coming true, and I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing. And now that we've got an idea about really kind of how you think and a little bit about your beliefs, tell us where you came from, how life was as a kid, how you got into the sport that you are in now, which is volleyball, why you chose school in the U.S. We want a story. So take us to that moment and tell us where the Mia Yarkov come from.
It's an interesting story. You know, like I'm like, just imagine me being a really skinny, restless kid and with a lot of energy. Great in school. I was always good in school, and I was kind of nerd in school, but still, like, I would come home and I would get off my stuff and go to the street and play with guys. And I never played with girls. I always played with guys. And it just I played soccer, tennis, whatever I could get my hands on a ball, like whatever ball is rolling, if it's in the air, if it's through the hoop or through like a goal net, doesn't matter. So I was always kind of playing, and I started playing tennis, but I was really physically weak for tennis. I was fast but weak. But my, you know, I had a really good coach, and he always kept telling me, like, you know, never, never, ever give up, you know. Even if it seems impossible, you should never give up. So he kind of put this thing in my head, like, that I should never give up, and I never did give up, and even when I was an underdog. And so it kind of paid off. But during tennis, I started doing swimming because I had to do it for my posture, and I really hated swimming because I was no good at it. I mean, I was kind of good at it, but not as much as I wanted. And because I was always aiming to be perfect, you know, and I don't know, like, I don't know why I wanted to be perfect. It was just like this idea of mine that I had that I need to be perfect. And I really hated swimming. So one day I came to my mother, I said, I really cannot do swimming anymore. And this, I mean, with tennis, we are traveling all over country all the time. Like, I have no time. Like, I have no time for my friends. I will be I'm lonely, stuff like that. Because you kind of, in tennis, you kind of just travel just with your parents, stuff. So I kind of decided to change sports. And this, I was really, really, really skinny. And nothing, like, could stop me. So I wanted to, like, play basketball. And my father came to me, and he was like, oh, please, are you not going to – please don't play basketball. You're a basketball player. Yeah, but, like, really, like, woman basketball is not so cool. I will think about it. And in the meantime, while I was thinking about it those couple of days – really famous and old volleyball coach saw me on the street, and I was kind of walking by, and he knew that whose daughter I was. So he kind of, there was no cell phones at that time, so he kind of started calling me home and stuff, and he kept calling me home, but I had no idea. Like, my mother kept telling me, would you like train volleyball, like start practicing volleyball? I said, no, what kind of sport is that? And she kind of was talking to me like, but please, this guy's calling. At least you can go and check it out. I mean, if you like it, one practice stuff. So, but I really had no idea what volleyball was like, and because it was not so popular in Croatia at that time. And only later, when the Russians came out, like, really, really started to be popular. So I kind of managed all of my strength, and I came to this volleyball practice, but I did not have any knee pads. I did not have anything, only shoes, you know, sports shoes. And I came on, and all these, like, older girls were there, because we were not kind of, in Croatia was not so organized, so we were not of the same age. Like, there would be people, like, 8 years older than me, you know. And I was 13 years old, and I was terrified, and I was like, oh, I cannot do this. But when the practice started, like, this coach really started to, like, teach me basics, and it really, really, really took only one practice for me to fall in love. And I was, and for last, I don't know how many years, like 19 years, I'm completely in love with this sport, and I kind of gave it my body and my soul to it. So this is what happened.
And who was this coach?
It was Professor Branko Draganić. He was a professor for physical, I don't know, like PE professor. And he also, at his free time, he taught volleyball. And he was really, like, in ex-Yugoslavia, he was kind of big shot. But later he moved to Kaštela and Split, and so he kind of organized a really small volleyball club there for younger girls, because he really likes to, like, work with younger players and teach them. So he was perfect. Like, later I follow him to Kaštela, and I kind of follow him around, because I was really, really, I was really proud to work with him, and he motivated me so much.
Yeah. Well, thank you to Branko, because without him, we definitely wouldn't have the Mia Yirkov we have today. So, yeah, that's excellent. I mean, it's nice to hear about all that stuff and how you got started in the sport. I'd definitely like to hear how it was like in your household. You grew up with both your parents, you said, and siblings.
I grew up with both of my parents. We're kind of a little crazy family. We love each other a lot. So we're a very emotional family. And at that time, when I was younger, I had only one brother. And later, when I moved out, I got the young one, the little one. We're like 15 years 15 years apart, but we have a really, really good relationship. And in my household, in my family, it's like mom sets all the rules and everyone else abides. But not in Sundays. In Sundays, it's a sport. It's a sports day, so we kind of all sit around and watch sport. So it was fun because it was great and motivating, and from different perspectives. Like from my father's side, it was motivating because of the sports and his understanding of sports. But from my mother's side, it was motivating because he would not, she would not, she would wouldn't let us kind of let go of our education and school and stuff. We had a one pizzeria. My family actually owned a pizza place for like 21 years, and they sold it
Oh, wow.
when I was 21 years old. And I kind of worked at the bar. I was making coffee. A little bit. That's the only thing they let me do when I was really young. And then later, when I started like doing sports and school and everything, there was little time to do everything because in Croatia it's not really organized. So it's not like US style that you kind of have time for everything. But during my free time or during summers, I would definitely like working in pizzeria. And we kind of had responsibilities like regular kids, I guess. Like you wake up, you make your bed, and do your schoolwork and make like keep your room clean and stuff like that. Nothing really major. I don't know. We had a like a money allowance, a monthly allowance, and like it would not go like not even like a penny above it. Like even if it was the best thing in the world, like you need to buy something or you need to buy, I don't know, Pepsi or whatever, which was not allowed, but like they would not go one penny over it. And so it was kind of, it was relaxed, but at the same time we had like limits and rules. So we learned how to respect money, how to respect how the money comes and how we earn it, and our work and our parents, which is the most important, I think.
Fantastic. Thanks for sharing. So, listen, we know now a little bit more about you when you were younger. And what I'm really interested in hearing is from that point, like you got all the way up until basically high school, right before you went to college. Let's get to the college part after, but who is Mia today?
I like to think I'm the same kid I was, I don't know, 20 years ago. Because I cherish the same values and same dreams. I kind of try to stay pure inside because like this life and this world, it's weird. It's so gratifying, but at the same time, it's so difficult. And I just try to stay positive, stay professional, and like live true to my dreams. And today I think I'm an accomplished volleyball player, but like I like to keep like other like I like to leave that to other people to comment because I don't think I'm done yet, and I really every day I work hard, so I become even better because I dedicated all of my life to excelling both in volleyball and both like in education, and so I dedicated my life to excel professionally and individually and as a person. So I really like to invest in myself as a person and as an athlete, whatever that means.
Listen, we all have fears and things that keep us from doing what we want to do or what we feel like we should do, right? And my question to you is, what was holding you back from becoming the great athlete that you are today when you look back to when you were younger?
It would definitely be perfection. I was always afraid if I'm not perfect, then I would not be good enough. So I tried to be perfect in everything. And as we all know, it's impossible to be perfect in everything. It's impossible to be perfect in service, serve, receive, attack, blocking, passing, anything. As much as I tried to work hard to become more perfect every day, the day that I realized that in order to be great, you don't need to be perfect is the day that I became who I am today. And I actually, like, I tore down the walls that were, like, limiting me. So as much as we need to know, like, what we need to improve, the motivation for improvement, for this perfection, can be also inhibiting. So we need to know our limits, and we need to know what we need in order to take those limits down, because essentially we don't have any limits.
That's actually, it's really interesting that you bring up that perfection and talking about breaking that barrier down to overcome that inhibiting, let's say, characteristic of yourself or belief system that I've got to get everything exactly, aligned and blah, blah, blah. And really, when you broke that down and said, okay, I am who I am and I'm not perfect. I can't be exactly perfect, but I can excel. And that excellence that you can strive for is really something that's special. And I would love, I'm going to bring that up right at the end. When we wrap up, we're going to talk about excellence because I have a quote that is fantastic from a coach. Anyways, thanks for sharing. Listen, I definitely want to know now, what's a time, speaking of these things that inhibit us, what's a time that you made a bad choice or failed in your life? When was the moment that you learned or thought of the better way to do that thing that you failed at? And what was your main takeaway from all of that?
Well, basically, in a way, I fail on a daily basis in a small things and stuff. But big decisions, I always kind of let that my heart, like my heart decide. And if I was okay with it, like my emotions, if they were okay with it, I would not listen to my head. I would listen to my heart, because my dreams come from my heart. They don't come from my head. And I would always, in big decisions in my life, I will definitely listen to my heart. So I cannot say I made any big mistakes or bad choices, because I never, like, succumb to fear. Because you always, when you have a bad cho like when you have a big choice to make, you're afraid if you're gonna make a bad choice or something. I was never afraid of that, because the worst thing, like, the worst thing for me was when I was 15 years old, I had to make a choice if I should leave my parents' house and move to my grandma's house, which was 12 hours away. Because my family was such a great family to live with, I was really having a difficult time to choose that. And I kind of went with my heart, and I chose it because of volleyball, because I had a better volleyball opportunity than my grandmother's. So I choose in order to excel in volleyball. So it was the hardest decision I ever made. And for 1 year, I was thinking if I made a bad choice, if I made a good choice. I was really, like, not depressed, but I was kind of sad, because I could not see my brothers, and my little brother was born, and I could not see my family, and my family could not travel because my little brother was small, too little to travel. So, and when I realized there was one, always there, it happens one moment, and it happens one day when you realize you did not make a bad choice. It was when Russian national team came to Pula, my grandmother's place, and probably one of the greatest coaches of all times, Nikolai Karpov, decided that I'm talented enough and I'm good enough to train with the Russian national team. So it was the greatest, probably one of the greatest honors of my life and greatest opportunities. And there I said to myself, God is really great and life is really great, and you know, you should have courage always, and you should always listen to your heart and your dreams. But from that point on, you know, I kind of tore that wall down when I was really young. And from that point on, every big choice I had to make, I kind of listened to my heart and I listened to my instinct. And of course, I had difficult times. I had hard times. But I kind of knew in my deep inside my soul that I had made the right choice and I'm going to go through it and I'm going to come on the other side stronger and better.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for sharing. Listen, I'd love to hear, because you're a volleyball player, I would love to hear a really tiny, quick story about a specific situation, for instance, in a match, like a big match, or, you know, all matches are important. It could be a championship match, or it could just be a normal regular season match. Let's say there was a time where you felt like you didn't give everything you could give. What was that time? What happened exactly for those, let's say, couple points or point? And how did you rebound from that to move forward?
Well, one of those times, it happened in Korea. We were playing one of those great matches. I played for Pink Spiders, and we kind of had a big rivalry with the Hyundai team. And it happened in the fourth set, and the result was kind of breaking down, and it was really important. And I missed the serve, and then later I got stuffed two times, and I kind of lost it there. And
you got blocked two times.
Yeah, I got blocked two times. Sorry, and I kind of lost it there, and I was thinking to myself, oh man, I'm sucking at this, you know, like I'm not good at all. And then we had a timeout, and I kind of lost it, and I was lost in my mind, and in my, like, I had a different idea, and I was kind of searching for myself and for my motivation and like securities. You know, every time you do something wrong, you kind of need to go back to some, you need to feel some security. And in Korea, it's not like others are too good to give you that security. You kind of have to find it yourself. So in a timeout, like everyone was talking in Korean, and I was just like thinking to myself and talking to myself. And you know, something shifted. Like I looked at the Hyundai bench, and everyone was smiling, and it kind of pained me because I gave them that opportunity to laugh and smile. And then something like woke up in me and say, why are you so happy? The match is not even over. And it kind of, I'm a proud person. So it woke up all the pride in me that I have. And I just told to myself, just go and show them you're a champion and show them that you're better than them. So I start pounding the ball from that point on, like so hard that, and I was defending everything and I was hitting everything, that we managed somehow to like win the fourth set and win the fifth set, and we won the game. But it was the first time actually that I kind of, I've beaten myself, because at the end we are our own worst enemy. And if you start thinking negative, like I did, like I started thinking, okay, I'm letting my team down, I'm letting myself down, I'm not perfect again, you know, stuff like this, you kind of lose it. And I found the strength, and I found the concentration, and I found the confidence to move on, move above it, and be better, excel what I do, because I knew it, that I'm good as I am, and I win a million games, and so I just need to win one more game. It doesn't matter how hard it is. You just try. You go and try. If you don't make it, you don't make it. But at least you try your best.
Listen, this goes right back to what you said your tennis coach had taught you. Never give up. Never, ever give up. I think it brings to mind, I'm a big Winston Churchill fan in terms of just like a ton of stuff. But I'll summarize for people out there everything you just said with, let's say, like a little summary of his. He always says, never give in, never give in, never, 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 never. And then he goes on to say that you never yield to force. In your instance, you see the other team, they're playing super hard. Now they're comfortable all of a sudden, you know? They're like, oh, we've beaten them. They're down. Look at them. All of their heads are down. So never yield to force. Never yield to that apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. And that was the end of one of his most famous quotes. And I think that rings so true with you. And if anybody takes anything away from this, you always got to stay true to yourself. And you're going to find yourself in hard times like Mia did. And you're going to have to say to yourself, this is just what happened. It's not what is going to continue happening. I am a champion and I'm going to move forward. So thank you so much for sharing that. That was awesome. You gave me goosebumps. I'm not kidding. So speaking of that, let's move on to some more positive stuff, because that was really inspirational. And I'd like to hear now your proudest moments in your life. And this could be with anything in life.
That's a no-brainer. When I graduated from Berkeley, that's probably the proudest moment of my life. When I left Berkeley, my junior year, I went to play in Russia, and my mother almost killed me. That's not a joke. And I kind of promised her, like, Mom, you will see, I will graduate. Because she was afraid I will never graduate. You know, she told me, like, once you leave, you will never go back. And I promised her, like, Mom, really, trust me, I will go back and I will graduate. So in 2008, I went back and I graduated Berkeley. And all half of my family managed to come, or my younger brother and my mother. Wow. And really, I didn't even know what I accomplished until that day, and really it gave me goosebumps. No victory ever gave me goosebumps. I kind of have rage in me when I play, yeah. But this gave me goosebumps, because I was really not proud of myself as much as I was proud of everyone else in that room. Like, just standing next to all these accomplished people, it's such an honor, and being able to graduate at Berkeley, which is amazing university, one of the best in the world, it's such a privilege. And I was really, really, really out of my mind from happiness, and it's just amazing. It was just amazing, really.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And you know, it brings to mind something that I've been saying on a lot of these podcasts, and something I truly, truly believe, because unlike you, I grew up with a single parent, and after 17, we really just didn't talk anymore because of some personal issues. And in my life, time and time again, any time I've ever been down, the times that I've been happiest, I have to look back to them, right? You want to remind yourself of something. And every time I do, Mia, every time I do, I notice who was around me. And every single time I do it, they're just great people. It doesn't mean like they're the best at what they do, but they're great people. And they believe in me and they support me. And so one of the great quotes out there that goes around, I don't know who said it, but you are the average of the five closest friends you keep. And I think you can go even further than that and say you are the average of all the people you keep around you. So thanks for sharing.
Thank you. What
personal habits do you believe contribute to your success?
Incredible work ethic. I'm really persistent in what I do, and I keep doing it until until I'm satisfied. I just do it. This incredible energy that I have, and confidence. No, I don't have confidence for everything, but I have confidence for my work ethic, and I believe in it, and I believe that in my mentality that it's really strong. And this together creates great things. My father always used to tell me, like, you know, talent is only 10% of success. Everything else is 90% of success. And that 90% of success I dedicated to my work ethic and my mentality. And because I obviously had talent, I inherited it from my father. But everything else I just built into myself.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. They say that There's like the 80-20 rule. Are you aware of this rule?
Yeah, I think for me it was like 10-90.
Yeah. No, it's a scale, you know, and you can totally slide it. But basically it says, like, I want to sum up for everybody and give my takeaway from what you just said, because it was really powerful. And if someone missed it, you know, tap that back 30 seconds button to hear it all over again, because wow, confidence and work ethic, and they don't go alone. Your confidence comes from your work ethic, and your success comes from your work ethic, which gives you confidence. So if anybody's lost out there and you're wondering how you can be more confident, work your butt off. Work hard. Don't stop until you are happy with how you're doing and what you're doing. So that 80-20 rule in your case, and for sure in my case, it's more of a 90-10 rule. So it says 10% of the things that you do are going to contribute to 90% of your success. Okay. And basically what Mia is doing is she's focusing on the 10% of things that she can really control in her life, which is her work ethic, and giving 100% into that. And she's getting most of her results from that. The rest we really can't control. So listen, thanks for sharing all that. I mean, we have really now a great idea of who Mia Yerkov is. And I'm so happy to have you on. And you're really inspirational, not only to others, because when I mentioned to girls that I was going to have you on, they just went, oh my God, really? I can't wait to hear it. But you're inspirational to me, you know, because I'm still playing and I'm still striving to be the best I can. And it's just great to have you as a friend. So I'm really grateful for that. What is your plan for the future? And that's in life, business, and sport.
It's really interesting, yeah. I'm still planning to play for a couple of years. And then later, definitely, I'm kind of preparing to move back to Split and live there. And I have a couple of projects. But individual projects and business projects. But what I have this idea since I was maybe 6-7 years old. And you know how in my family, I already told you that education is really important. So one day I came up to my mother and I say, but you know, athletes in Croatia don't really have an opportunity to educate themselves. And you know, because my late aunt was a doctor, so I always wanted to become a doctor. And my mother kept telling me, but you can't practice medicine and be an athlete. And then I would tell her, but why? Because for me, it was always everything was possible. So why this is not possible? So one day I came to her and I told her, you know what? One day I'm going to be really rich and I'm going to set up like educational system where also athletes can educate themselves, because athletes are not stupid. Athletes are really intelligent.
Yes.
And why not? Yeah. And why not all the people have the same opportunity to educate themselves? And kind of in Europe, we don't have a set up system, in Croatia especially, but in Europe in general, to sustain like athletic activity and education at the same time, which makes no sense actually. So one of my dreams in long term, these are long term goals, is actually to contribute to that. And I have an idea how I'm gonna attack it, but still it's in process, and I think I'm still too young and I have too much going on right now to dedicate myself to this. But I kind of dedicated all my life since the beginning in like I invested all of me to become this model player and person. So maybe one day I can help Croatia or Italy or Europe and set up some system that can help athletes around.
Now, I love that you just said this, and I'm like smiling from ear to ear right now. We had to turn off our video so we can't see each other anymore, but I'm just like grinning because I'm too excited about what you just said. And ever since I was young, I was just like, why is this so hard? I didn't know you could go to college for sports. I wasn't even pushed to go to college. It was just kind of like an idea. And then, you know, how do you get to college? When you get there, what do you do after college? Can you play pro volleyball? Can you play pro sport? Anything? What should you do to prepare if that doesn't work out? What should you do? You know, all of these questions. You and I have to sit down, but first, what I'm going to do is after the show goes offline, I'm going to send you a document. It's called Elite Sports Students. And Beyond Athletic is directly related to it because it's my goal to do exactly what you're talking about. And I want you to just imagine what you said. Imagine it and just put it on a global scale. Why not help everyone? And it's totally possible. And they need mentors like you, like me. They need like as much support as they can, and they can get their education, they can use online resources, and they can get their names out there for their different sports by getting recruiters and schools to see them while they're in their home country. And I've got a plan for it. I'm going to send it to you. You're going to love it, and I hope you're going to be on board because there will be time for it. But anyways, the first step was this. Listen, we're going to wrap up. There's so much that we talked about. We're going to go through what I like to call a Beyond Athletic toolbox. Give people out there some tools to see how pros and excellent pros at that do what they do. Speaking of which, it's really late there now, especially since we had technical difficulties trying to get this started. But it's like one in the
But we
morning,
managed
1:20. Yeah, because of you. Thank you. So, listen,
it well.
how long do you sleep usually, and what's your morning ritual? Like from the moment you wake up until the time you get to work or training, what do you do on a regular basis?
Okay, I try to sleep 8 hours. Sometimes I don't manage it, but I never sleep less than 7 hours a night. And sleep is like the most important thing ever for recovery and good mindset. And at the end, we have such a long practices all day here in Japan. We practice 7 to 8 hours, so you really need your sleep. And when I wake up in the morning, basically, I kind of get out of the bed hoping that I will not hit the wall because I'm the most terrible person when I wake up in the morning. And then I put the coffee machine on. I put the coffee machine on and kind of make myself coffee and make myself breakfast. And by that time, I already kind of brush my teeth and I don't even comb my hair at that time because I don't have patience. I wait until I finish my breakfast. I'm the worst at the morning. I don't even talk. If someone calls me from Croatia now, it's like because there's a 8 hour difference. Really, I have no patience to talk. It's the worst. But once I drink coffee, I'm a much better person, much more manageable, and I kind of prepare for practice. I stretch already at home a little bit, and I head out to the gym, and in the gym I do all the warm-up stretching, all the work with elastic and stuff.
You do
So
this
that's kind of
alone.
Yeah, I do this alone before the practice starts because it's actually better like when the team stuff starts, it's not really detailed. It's for the whole team and I know but by this time I already know what I need, so I kind of focus what I need before practice and then I can just focus on team practice later.
How soon in terms of like till training do you arrive? Like how much time before do you get there?
I come there like 40 minutes before.
Okay.
Until I
And
tape my fingers and stuff, it takes some time, so I come there 40 minutes before.
yeah. And what's a book or a learning resource you love to use to learn new things?
I really like read a lot of articles. I don't know, you heard of Flipboard and
I have.
I kind of have, yeah, I have it on my phone and I'm a total addict of Flipboard and I kind of, it really helps me like browse different articles from different areas of life and it adds to my quality of life and understanding of what's going on besides sports. But in my free time, I really like to read books and I keep Bible always with me. It's also some kind of learning resource. It's really good. When you read a couple of times, you kind of get a different perspective out of it. But I also read a lot of different kind of books from biographies to self-help books to sports books everything that interests me to some
Yeah.
like to improve your mentality books, stuff like this, you know.
Yeah.
Like I really try to attack all areas of my life that I find interesting.
I love that. You really try to attack all areas of your life that you find interesting. That's awesome. We have that really in common because I'm just like, if you saw my Kindle, you'd be like, what? What is going on here?
Oh, or if I you definitely knew... need to buy a Kindle. I'm still like in paperback.
Oh,
so
you got to. You don't even need to buy one. Do you have an iPad?
No, I don't.
Oh.
I don't. I need, like, I don't like the contrast on my...
Yeah.
So I need a Kindle, but I'm crazy for like paperback books, so paper versions. So I carry like 100 books everywhere I go.
Yeah, that is definitely the huge advantage of the Kindle is that the contrast is fantastic for your eyes. Listen, what book would you give away to an athlete as a gift, and why?
Zlatan Ibrahimović autobiography, I think it is, and it's because it's raw, it's sincere. And it has the right attitude to show. It kind of shows you what you need to succeed. But I like it because it's raw and it's not like it's not written so nicely. He came out from ghetto and stuff, and it's kind of hard life for him. But he is a genius. He's a soccer genius, and I respect him because he is and because everything he accomplished in life, and he managed to stay. He managed to stay human inside, which a lot of these guys don't.
Well, maybe someday I can get him on the show. That would be awesome. Sounds very inspirational.
That would be awesome.
What's a tool you love to use to stay healthy or improve yourself in some way?
I carry a travel roller everywhere I go.
Oh, I love
everywhere
those.
I go. And this travel roll is kind of small size, and it's actually perfect. It fits your luggage, and I really, because how much we practice, how much we play, I'm sore all around. So it really helps me. It really helps me to dedicate myself to something. So I cannot only stretch, I also roll. So it's really good for your health.
Yeah. And people out there listening, one of the rollers that I use, I don't know, Mia, if you use the same one, but I use the TP foam roller, and it's fantastic because it's hollow, it's PVC, but it's a little bit of cushion on the outside, and it travels so well. But what you're basically doing with a roller, especially for younger athletes or people who don't know what they do, is you roll on them your muscle, your area that's sore or tight. And what that does is through cross-friction massaging, basically, and pressure point therapy, it releases the tension to your muscle, and it allows your skin to not move with your muscle, allowing you to have some elasticity there. So it's awesome, and I agree with you. What's something you must take when you're traveling besides that travel roller?
It's books, definitely. Most definitely books.
Books.
I can, like my computer, my books. I need to be in contact with the world. I'm kinda, since I left my home pretty early, I'm kind of addicted to my phone and my computer because there are kind of means how I contact my family. And if I don't have any of these, I kind of go into total panic because I feel a sense of loss if I don't, because it kind of I cannot talk to my loved ones. So it's a must, and book is a must because before I go to sleep, I always read a book, and it really helps my mind. Books are great for imagining and dreaming, and you kind of create your own reality, and it's good. It's really good.
And how do you like to add value to others' lives?
I like really to be kind and polite to people. No matter how they behave, especially when I don't know these people, because like really I've been traveling the world so much, and I've been a stranger to a lot of people, and everyone was so most of them were so kind to me, and I appreciate kindness, and it's something like you never know what other person actually goes through, what do they have in life, what's happening to them. So people react in different ways, but if you're kind to them, they respect you. They respond well. Like they respond with kindness. So I think being kind to some stranger, it's really amazing. And because so many people were kind to me when I was in a difficult situation, when I had nowhere to go, you know, like, so I really learned how to appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And kindness and love can move mountains, really, really they can.
Yeah, they can. That's really important what you just said. And for listeners out there, it's, you know, you add value to people and that value comes back to you. And sometimes it comes back to you two, triple fold, you know, it goes on and on. Yeah. But it's a full circle. It's not a one-way thing. So make sure that if there's anybody in your life adding value to you, that you also add value not only to their lives, but someone else, however you can. And just to plug one time, Elite Sports Students, which is a non-for-profit organization, anyone out there that is interested in working with us, Mia, I say us now because you're part of it being on this podcast, yes. Because this is going to help mentor so many athletes. And if anybody out there has any skills that could contribute to the cause, please hit me up, ryan@beyondathletic.com. So listen, we're wrapping up here. I've got three last questions. You ready?
I'm ready.
What advice would you give your 15 or 16-year-old self? And then fast forwarding a few years, because there's a huge time in kind of making your life plans, what would you give your 20 or 21-year-old self advice for?
My 15-year-old self, I would give advice, have courage and go in direction of your dreams. My 20-year-old self, I would give advice, don't be afraid.
Hmm. And how can people find you on social media, the internet?
I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram. So I think it's enough if you put like Mia Jerko in a search, but on Twitter, I'm MiaJ55, on Instagram, I'm MiaJ5, and on Facebook, I'm Mia Jerko.
Okay, and that's Yerkov, J-E-R-K-O-V, for people listening. Now, last thing, keeping in mind that most top-level pros and, you know, Olympic athletes, they either go broke shortly after their career, they're in trouble with the law, physically, psychologically violent with one or, you know, their spouses or kids. Maybe they get injured or they have to quit before their career is like a full, long career. And even if they do have these careers, Mia, a lot of them statistically, they end up clinically depressed or worse, committing suicide after hugely successful careers. And right now, just before you answer this last question, I want to talk about the excellence thing just really fast. I know it's late. I really appreciate your time. Different than excellence. Like, most people define success as they think that it's excellence, but it's not. And Joe Paterno, he was the head coach of the Penn State Nittany Lions for 45 years. Yeah, 45 years he was the head coach.
That's amazing.
One of the best programs in the country for USA. And he only passed a year after he left Penn State, leaving a serious legacy behind. Something that Mia has talked about a lot here was that she wanted to be a three-dimensional person. She wanted to be a complete person. She wanted to give back, add value, do something great so she could give that great, those great lessons she had back to people. And this is something he did. And people summarize the confusion between mostly between success and excellence. But no, excellence is lasting. Success is something that's perishable. It's out of your control. And he said, people who put excellence in the first place have the patience to end up with success. An additional burden for the victim of the success mentality is that he is threatened by the success of others. And if he resents real excellence, in contrast, the person that is fascinated by quality is excited when he sees it in others. Now, I'm going to put that in the show notes because it's a lot. And if anybody listening to this reads that again, really see that in fact, most athletes, they have a self-identity only with sports, meaning they haven't found other avenues to be three-dimensional and healthy humans. So with all of that in mind, Mia, the last question, what is your definition of being beyond athletic?
My definition is just going day by day and trying to be a better person and better athlete or better in what you do. while maintaining those moral values, because at the end is not about, like, success can happen to you, it can happen overnight, but in order to build something lasting, you need to try and build something of quality, even the smallest thing, every day, and each day you need to do it. And it's really hard to maintain all the levels of, I would say, humanity in this, in the cruel professional world, but I really try. And I think being beyond, the definition of beyond athlete is just being a complete person and trying to excel in those little things every day.
Yeah. So just to sum up, guys, be a complete person and build something of quality and maintain it every single day. That's Mia Yerkov for you guys. I hope you enjoy it. Mia, I'm so grateful for you being on. Thank you so much. I hope you sleep very well tonight, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks, guys.
Did you like the show? Leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher.com so others will find us, and share the love. Think of one person that could benefit and send them the link for this episode. For more resources and tips, go to beyondathletic.com or tweet us at beyondathletic. I appreciate and thank you for listening.
What we do in life echoes in eternity.
I'm gonna show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.